WKAR at Michigan State University. This is Current Sports with Al Martin.
Johnny Peralta lines one to right field for a base hit.
Miguel Cabrera, game-winning walk-off home run.
The champagne is flowing in the Tigers clubhouse.
I would have never, ever thought that I would have been in the Michigan Hall of Fame as a kid when I first picked up a basketball on 512 Gray Street in Flint, Michigan.
Thomas drives to the left side, goes up and banks it in. Jasmine Thomas.
That's the joy you get from watching like a JV wrestler. Getting his first match ever. That makes it worthwhile as a coach.
It's a fake. Bates is going to throw. He's going. Touchdown. Michigan State wins it in overtime.
Good afternoon, good people. It's Wednesday, hump day. That's right, June 19th, 2013. I hope you all are having a great week. Current Sports is back in your ear with another fun-filled show in store for you all, with much to talk about, including Justin Verlander, who showed last night again that he's simply not the same JB that we used to been seeing in the past. A certain Michigan point guard could be rocking the red, white, and blue. And last night, we witnessed one of the greatest NBA Finals games you'll ever see. We'll update you on all of that. And we have a guest with us today that's going to talk about a pretty cool charity event that's going to kick you right out your shoes. All right, Current Sports is on your radio and starts right now. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Today we have a few topics that we'll definitely be debating. And while we're on this whole debate kind of thing, we want to encourage you guys to call in at 517-355-9527. Follow me on Twitter at Al Martin, WKAR. Like Current Sports on Facebook.com/Current Sports. Or even email me at almartin@wkar.org. We have a tons to talk about and debate. Hit us up, ladies and gents. We want to hear what's on your mind. So throughout this week, we've been talking about a pretty intriguing topic that's been getting a lot of feedback from you all, the topic of homosexuality in sports and how it has become more and more prevalent. Now, we had Don Hubbard of Rainbow League Bowling join us on Monday, and yesterday we chatted with Rob Copeland of Ann Arbor Queer Aquatics and got his take on things. Now, later on, production assistants Alex Sharg and Matt Lutke will join me to discuss a pretty touchy question. How would you deal with a gay or lesbian teammate on your team? Now, the reason we are posing this question is because there has been a lot of chatter out in the world from people who say they wouldn't shower with the individual, they would keep their distance, etc., etc. We'll talk about that later on and encourage your calls on that discussion. 517-355-9527. Now, in the meantime, we highlight a pretty cool charity event taking place this weekend in Lansing. It's called Kick for the House. It's a celebrity soccer game run by the Capital Area Soccer League. And all proceeds, that's right, all proceeds go to the Ronald McDonald House of Mid-Michigan. Now, it will be taking place this Saturday down at Cooley Law School Stadium, home of the Lansing Lugnuts. And we have a representative from the Capital Area Soccer League, Jimmy Cotter. Welcome to the show, Jimmy.
Hello, thank you, Al. Appreciate it.
How you doing, man?
Very
you all right?
Very good. Just another day of work. Out on my lunch break. Doing a little radio show.
Shout, well, thanks for joining us on your lunch break. We appreciate
happy
it.
Happy to be here.
First off, Jimmy, talk about how Kick for the House got started. Talk
sure,
about that.
Sure. Our executive director, Scott Dane, who is an unbelievable individual in the community, had this idea of putting together a celebrity soccer game. And, you know, he's looking for, you know, what the proceeds should go to, what fundraiser or what organization. And he, you know, he remembered, you know, there's a golf for the house, there's a shot for that. There's different sporting events where they give proceeds to Ronald McDonald House. And Scott Dane, being from the Capital Area Soccer League, right, decided, you know, let's do a Kick for the House, a celebrity soccer game, and send all proceeds. So that's where the idea of it really came from.
Right. So for you, Jimmy, when you look at, for those of the, first of all, for those that don't know what the Ronald McDonald House does, I mean, explain that to them.
Well, it's, you know, it's interesting because, you know, with the Ronald McDonald House, it's something you personally you don't really ever want to, you know, have to be, you know, experienced with, because what it, you know, what it does is it aids displaced families with sick children, gives these families a place to stay. So they're not sleeping, you know, in waiting rooms, not eating from vending machines, gives them, you know, a home feel with real food, with real beds. So really, you know, you personally, you don't really ever want to come across it, you know, because it, what it does is, you know, it mean when your child is sick or someone in your family is sick,
right.
But it's something that when you do have to come across it, when you do have to utilize it, it's something that many families couldn't get through without. It's an unbelievable community resource to kind of put families at ease who are dealing with some pretty substantial emotional ups and downs.
Ladies and gents, we're talking with Jimmy Cotter. He's a representative from the Capital Area Soccer League to talk about a pretty cool charity event going taking place down at Cooley Law School Stadium this Saturday. So, first of all, Jimmy, who we got playing for each team, man? It's the celebrity soccer game. Who are the celebs?
Okay, well, we're going it's a lot of former Spartans. Way it's shaping up, looks like we're going to have football versus basketball, a couple other athletes mixed in. We got guys like Eric Smith, who was a Spartan grad, played for the Jets for many years, was actually a captain for a year. He's a great guy. He's been out to all three of them now.
Right.
We got guys like Tim Bagrakis, who is such a huge part of this university still, working with alumni. He'll be out there.
Gotcha.
We got national champions like Andre Hudson and Charlie Bell.
Of course.
Got a couple women's basketball players for the women's basketball fans, Courtney Schiffauer, Jasmine Thomas.
Nice.
Got an inspirational guy like Arthur Ray Jr., who just overcame his battle with cancer, and he'll be out on the soccer field helping us out. A load of former Spartans that try out soccer, you know.
It's a pretty cool list, man.
It is. You know, it's, you know, it, I could, you know, list goes on and on. The game will also be supplemented with players from this year's national Michigan State club soccer team, who won the club national championship,
yes,
which is
did.
A big deal, an incredibly talented team. So we'll have several players from that team, guys like Max Washko and Stevie Summerlot, Josh Wisner, so all former national champions there. So, you know, if you're
I would want to be on their team if I was. I'll tell you that right now.
Exactly.
Pretty good,
exactly.
Man.
We're splitting it up. We'll make sure the talent's even across the board. But, you know, even if you're not looking at a former Spartan athlete, you're going to be looking at another Spartan national championship in a club sport. So
Jimmy, is this event free for the public? Can they just come in and enjoy the game?
It's actually, it'll be tickets can be sold at the door. It'll be $5 for general admission.
Okay.
Because this is where we're generating these vital funds for the Ronald McDonald House.
Right.
There will also be a VIP ticket option, $25 at the door, which will include the game, of course. And then after the game in the Lugnuts Clubhouse, there'll be a dinner for everyone who purchases the VIP tickets, and then the athletes will be there. We have Coach Boss for one team, then Coach Jackie from the softball team.
Nice.
So it'll be baseball versus softball there. It'll be a little bit
head-to-head,
so that'll be fun. Coaches should be there. Most of the players will be there, and then if you want to talk to the club guys about their national championship, they'll all be there. So it'll, you know, either option, if you go with the $5 ticket, you get the general admission, have fun for the day. A $25 ticket, just a little bit more to proceeds and a fun dinner afterwards. So you got
that
two options.
That sounds great.
Yep.
That sounds great, man. Bring your families out this Saturday at Cooley Law School Stadium. Kick for the house. The sponsorship is from the Capital Area Soccer League. We have a representative from that org, Jimmy Cotter, here today. So, Jimmy, talk about your love for just, you know, because we talked about this before the show got on, about your love for nonprofits and just helping people in general. How did you get involved with this? Where does this passion come from?
Yeah, well, I've known Scott for a long time. Scott Dane, our executive director. He's been a real, you know, a really great figure, a really good mentor in my life. And he came across the opportunity of interning with Castle, which is a nonprofit organization, just to get some experience, you know. And so I said, I graciously accepted right away, and I said, right, absolutely. So this was kind of my first line of business here, if you will,
right.
It was dealing with Kick for the House. So that's how I got involved. In regards to nonprofits in general, it's what I'd like to get into after college. I'm going into my junior year right now. I believe my major is setting me up very well to possibly, you know, break into the nonprofit field. I've lived such an incredible life in many aspects, and I want to help improve the life of others who are less fortunate.
That is really a great message, Jimmy.
Thank you.
I wish you luck on that, going after that nine. I mean, just helping people in general. It's such an inspiration and a great message to any of our listeners out there listening. Now, for those who don't know, Jimmy, not many out there listening, know that you are actually a member of the Michigan State Women's Basketball Scout Team. Now,
sir,
it's comprised of, for those of you who don't know what the scout team is, it's comprised of a bunch of guys, and you guys practice against the women on a daily basis to get them better with their game. I mean, just expound on what you guys do.
Yeah, well, we show up before practice. We, you know, sometimes watch a little film. We'll get our booklet with our plays. With our player roles, our stats per game, and then we have to, you know, imitate that player that we were assigned as well as possible. You can't play your game. You can't play, you know, your personal
right.
game. You got to adapt on the fly, kind of. And you know, if you're a foreman, if you're a post player. You know, you got to do a lot of picking, you know, a lot of picks, a lot of rebounds. It's not a real flashy
right.
position sometimes. So sometimes you put in the dirty work, and then sometimes you know, you're the star player and you get to, you know, back to the basket or face up or drive to the hole or anything, you know, it's a wide range of possibilities what you can play on any specific day.
Without a doubt. Now, you know, this brings back memories for me, because when I was at WLNS, I actually did a feature
mm-hmm.
During March Madness. I sat down with you and Mark, who's another member on the team, and you guys really gave me the in-depth behind the scenes type, you know, conversation about the whole scout team. Now, for you guys, like you just said, you guys are kind of like actors in a way. You can't go out there and just play your game and go against these girls on a daily basis. You guys have to read the scouting report and kind of act out a role in a,
mm-hmm.
in a way, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, if you're playing, a center from Wisconsin,
right?
And you even, you know, dare to put up a baseline jump shot. I mean,
oh, Susie Merchant won't like that. I'm
no,
sure.
no. I mean, all the coaches get on you real quick. You know, what are you doing shooting that shot? You know, you're a strictly sit in the paint and, you know,
right.
get garbage points and get rebounds and, you know, you. Or likewise, you know, if you're supposed to be a shooter, you're a big time 20 points plus scorer, and you're not chucking the ball. I mean, you're going to come out, and then we're going to get
right.
someone in there who will chuck up shots. And you know, it doesn't matter if you're making these shots. It just what it matters is you're putting these shots up so they can play the defense they need to play and prepare to be as successful as possible.
So Jimmy, when you're going against these girls on a daily basis, has there ever been a time when you guys had the leash off and could just play against them?
Oh yeah. Sometimes. I mean,
describe that. And how does that go?
Oh no, that's a blast. See, that's when you know the trash talking comes out. And that's when you start. All right, let's drive them into the ground almost. And
right.
You know, sometimes we'll make a run, and sometimes we'll handle them, and you know they'll get, you know, a little heat caught, you know, for it. But you know, don't get it twisted. There's a lot of times where, you know, we'll try to run them into the ground, and you know
yeah.
someone comes in, blocks a shot, gets a fast break, and they'll score on us, and all of a sudden it's like, you know. All right, let's try to run this. Let's do this again. You know, get
right.
a steal, other way, basket. So I mean, sometimes, you know, sometimes we'll play some good ball and we'll handle them. Sometimes, but you know, there's so many times where they'll do the exact same thing to us. So
most of the time, who's winning? Who wins?
Oh,
when you guys
man.
Do get the leash off and you play against them, who's winning most of the time?
I mean,
because a lot of people are listening. Like, oh, they're girls.
I gotta say, I mean, I gotta go ahead and go with pride route and say, you know, we'll handle them if it came down to it. We'll take you on, girls. But
right.
I don't know. There's the truthful side of me is saying, come on, man, don't give these listeners.
They give it
anything.
To you guys.
They do for sure. They
wow.
handle us a lot of the time. I mean, they're Division I, you know, athletes that work on a daily basis, and these girls are incredible athletes.
Wow. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Jimmy Cotter. He's a representative from the Capital Area Soccer League, which is actually putting on Kick for the House. It's a charity event which all proceeds go to the Ronald McDonald House of Mid-Michigan, taking place this Saturday over at Cooley Law School Stadium. And Jimmy, as we just talked about, he's also a member of the Michigan State Women's Basketball Scout Team. So, Jimmy, what made you join the Scout Team?
My dad, who has worked at the university for, you know, as long as I've been around, he deals with a lot of athletics, and he told me, you know, he presented me this, you know, with this whole thing, how, the women take these guys every year at a tryout, and they, you know, they bring them, and they, you know, put them, they're a part of the team, they're student athletes, then they just practice against them. You know, he kind of gave me the whole rundown as I'm giving you right here.
Right.
And I, you know, being a basketball guy in high school, I played a lot of basketball, but, you know, didn't get the opportunity to play the next level. I thought, well, this is a pretty good second option. You know, still be a part of a team and go out there and, you know, the fact that I could leave class every day and go play basketball at the Breslin Center was a pretty good, you know, that kind of sealed the deal, you know. If I can get out of class and go play some ball at the Breslin Center, I mean, why not do it, you know?
Why not?
It's a lot of time commitment, but it's, you know, it's got so many, you know, advantages and from it, and it's, you know, he gave me the whole spiel of it, and I said, "Yep, I'm gonna run with that." So it's been history ever since.
Now, Jimmy, with you and the fellas, I mean, when you first started playing against these girls, I mean, were you kind of hesitant? Because I know I played ball for many years. I played in high school, and you know, occasionally in Detroit, I mean, there's some really good, you know, girl ballers out there, and occasionally, every once in a while, there'd be this one girl who can just ball out of control. She's balling with the girls, and I'll go out there, and I'm like, man, I don't want to have to guard her. But they would match me up with her sometimes, and I would kind of hold back, you know, because she's a girl. Was there any notion of that when you started playing? Like, these are girls. Yeah, I mean, I can go all out.
It's funny you say you had that one girl that come out there and play with all
but
the guys.
But you're playing with
stuff,
a whole team
but
of them.
This is a team of those one girls from across the Midwest, you know.
Right,
so
right.
You step on that floor and you're kind of thinking, you know, okay, I got to take it easy. That first open gym you show up to, or that first, you know, whatever time you're playing against them. And you take that one possession where you go a little soft on them, and you just get absolutely demolished. And you say, "Okay, well, learned my lesson there." You know, after the first possession is over, you realize, "Okay, it's not. There's no one taking it easy here. It's everyone, you know, playing ball and playing hard."
You know what, Mark? When we did the piece at WLNS, he had a pretty funny quote. I remember him saying, "You know, my father raised me to be chivalrous, but if you be chivalrous, you're gonna get your butt kicked."
And that's the truest thing you'll hear all day, man. It's you can't take it easy. Like I said, incredible athletes, and if anyone's taking it easy, then they're gonna get beat.
Gotcha. All right, we're talking with Jimmy Cotter. He's a representative from the Capital Area Soccer League, hosting the Kick for the House charity event, which all proceeds go to the Ronald McDonald House of Mid-Michigan. One more time, Jimmy, just tell the folks how they can come out, how much the tickets are. You know, the event is a charity soccer event. This is the third year you guys have done this, right? Talk about a little bit more. Just to remind
people. Absolutely. Well, in regards to ticket sales, you know, anyone can come out right over to Lugnuts Ballpark, Cooley Law School Stadium. It will have, you know, signs up for you where you can buy the tickets. $5 for general admission, $25 for the VIP, which includes the admission, obviously, and then a very good dinner with the players and the coaches afterwards, kind of mingle with everyone. You know, it's your chance to interact with these athletes on a more personal level. And then in regards to the event in general, as we've stated, it's a celebrity soccer game with several Michigan State former athletes, many of them very well known, with some great stories and some great credentials. And they're all coming back to the Lansing area in attempts to raise these funds for the Ronald McDonald House in Mid-Michigan, which aids displaced families with sick children. So it's, you know, raising these funds is very not only important to myself and to Castle, but, you know, also to anyone that's been affected or influenced by the Ronald McDonald House. They'll tell you how incredible of a community resource it truly is, and it how it changes lives. And, you know, if we can raise $1,000, or if we can raise $10,000, we can raise $100, whatever we can raise for this organization, you know, we'll feel good about it at the end of the day. You know, you'd always like to raise as much money as possible. So, you know, we'd love if people in the area could, would come out and, you know, hang out with us for the day and watch some soccer and hang out with some of their, you know, maybe their favorite athletes from past years from Michigan State teams. So
sounds like a great event, man. Now I got to ask you, how has the attendance been in the past? I mean, how much have you guys raised?
We had about 1,000 people show up last year, which was over at DeMartin Stadium, or DeMartin Soccer Field, I should say, over on campus.
Yep.
And then the first year it was in my hometown, Grand Ledge, right on the football field.
Yeah.
First year showed up probably about 600 people. So it, you know, grew pretty well the following year over at DeMartin last year, and we hope that, you know, we can help it grow even more. You know, we were at somewhere around 1,000 last year. Maybe we push it to 2,000. You know, Cooley Law School Stadium can hold up to, I think our maximum limit is 5,000. So, hey, 5,000, you want to come out, come on out. We got plenty of room for you. So we hope to see more growth out of it even than it has from 2 years ago to last year, even to this year. So we're hoping to see that growth, and hoping to raise those funds.
Well, you heard it from the man himself, Jimmy Cotter. He's a representative from the Capital Area Soccer League running Kick for the House charity event this Saturday over at Cooley Law School Stadium. $5 for general admission, right?
Yes,
go
sir.
On out, folks, and watch it. Now, before I let you go, Jimmy, last night we went, and you're a big basketball guy. You're on the women's scout team. Last night was arguably one of the greatest NBA finals games that I've ever seen, of all time, really.
Mm-hmm.
You're a big NBA guy. What was your take on that game, man?
Well, I love to watch the NBA. I think, you know, as we talked about, I think it truly is an art, you know, that people, if you're an NBA fan, you realize that, you know, it's,
oh yeah.
If you're not an NBA fan, I guess that's kind of what you're lacking with what you see, as, you know, being an, you know, form of art almost. But I'm cheering for the Heat right now. I got some really good buddies that'll sit there and, you know, kind of hate on the Heat, hate on LeBron,
LeBron
and stuff.
Haters, yeah.
Exactly. They are, right. You know, they're the typical LeBron haters. So, you know, I got to make them mad somehow. So I got to cheer for those Heat. So, I mean,
right.
That game last night,
unbelievable, right?
I dropped the quote and said that was one of the greatest, you know, greatest games I've ever seen. And, oh, of course, I got, you know, bombarded with haters. Oh, yeah, whatever. Spurs blew it. He couldn't come out.
Right.
He didn't win that. Spurs blew it. Nah, I mean,
I got a lot of that. I got a lot of flack from that, too, man.
Exactly. But it was an incredible game.
Incredible.
I was on the edge of my seat. And I think the only thing we can hope for now is Game 7, almost exactly like Game 6.
So, I asked you that because in this next segment of Current Sports, we're switching up things today, folks. I will be joined by Ali Sharg and Matt Lucky, the production assistants, to kind of just recap that game. It was so good. We're going to debate about that game a little bit, and we just got Jimmy's thoughts on it. Very entertaining game as the Miami Heat stay alive 103-100 in overtime against the San Antonio Spurs. Well, Jimmy Cotter, representative from the Capital Area Soccer League, running Kick for the House charity event this Saturday over at Cooley Law School Stadium. All proceeds going to the Ronald McDonald House of Mid-Michigan. Jimmy, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, Al. It's always a pleasure, my friend, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
Definitely, definitely. Always welcome, man. All right, when we return to Current Sports, we will dive into our Current Sports section of the show. We want to let you know that we'll be taking your calls pretty early this time. If you want to call in around 1:30-ish when we get this debate going with the whole finals, don't hesitate to pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on any of today's topics. We want to hear what's on your mind. Stay tuned. More Current Sports is next.
The speaker says no majority GO support, well then no immigration bill. Claire McCaskill puts her support behind Hillary Clinton for 2016. And President Obama insists he's no Dick Cheney. I'm John Donvan. Ken Rudin, the political junkie, joins Neil Conan. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That's Talk of the Nation coming up at 2 p.m.
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
James catches, puts up a three, won't go, rebound Bosch, back out to Allen, his three-pointer, bang! Tie game with 5 seconds remaining!
Hey, good people, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It's now time for Current Sports, giving you all of the sporting news concerning the good people of Mid-Michigan. We want to let you know that we'll be taking your calls, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We want to hear what's on your mind. We're switching things up today on Current Sports. I'm bringing actually my production assistants, Alex Sharg and Matt Lutke, in a little early during the Current Sports section just because of that crazy, unbelievable Heat-Spurs game 6 last night. Before we dig into that, though, just want to give some quick hits. The Tigers, they fall to the Baltimore Orioles yesterday 5-1, actually tying up the series with Baltimore. They're actually playing right now. It's the bottom of the first, no score yet. But the Tigers yesterday fall to Baltimore 5-1. Rubber match taking place as we speak. Yesterday, Michigan coach, not a lot of people know this, but Michigan basketball coach John Beilein threw out yesterday's ceremonial first pitch. Now, Justin Verlander was on the mound for the Tigers, and to put it plain and simple, guys, just to be real, the guy looked bad, looked awful. Verlander, who is 8-5 right now, gave up 5 runs and 7 hits in 5 innings, walked 4, struck out 5. And Baltimore's J.J. Hardy has really had Verlander's number, if you look at his history. So just in this month, when it comes to that battle with Verlander, he is now homered off Verlander for the third time this month. Now Hardy homered twice off Verlander in Baltimore's 10-3 loss against the Tigers on June 1st, and he opened the scoring Tuesday with a 2-run shot to left in the fourth. So. Verlander, his ERA has increased now to 3.72. Struggled a bit in the middle of May, but he really appeared. I thought he was back in form. When you looked at that game against Kansas City on June 12th, I'm like, all right, Verlander may be coming back. I don't know, but yesterday, that's a tough one for him, man. Now Detroit's Rick Porcello is on the mound right now. Against Baltimore's Chris Tillman. Again, that score is, just to double check, yes, 0-0, bottom of the first. Tigers trying to win that series 2-1 after they fall yesterday. And also want to note that the Grand Rapids Griffins, how about this, guys? Now, you can say, even though the Red Wings didn't get that far in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, they kind of won in a way, because the Grand Rapids Griffins, for those of you who don't know, the Calder Cup, first of all, let me reiterate this. The Grand Rapids Griffins are the minor league hockey team to the Red Wings, and this is in the American Hockey League. Now, the Calder Cup is like Lord Stanley in the AHL, and the Grand Rapids Griffins, they pulled off a win against Syracuse yesterday, so congrats to them. Brennan Evans, who didn't have a goal during the regular season for the Grand Rapids Griffins, scored the biggest in franchise history to really stretch things out. They win 5-2 over Syracuse in Game 6. They actually had a 3-0 series lead and let Syracuse, the Syracuse Crunch, how about that name? they won 2 straight, and they closed out things last night, though. So congrats to the Grand Rapids Griffins as they win the Calder Cup, which is, like I said, that's like Lord Stanley in the AHL. All right, the NBA Finals, guys. The Miami Heat, they beat the San Antonio Spurs 103-100. In an overtime thriller last night. And again, you gotta hear this call. Ray Allen just clutched to send this thing in overtime.
James catches, puts up a 3. Won't go. Rebound Bosch. Back out to Allen. His 3-pointer. Bang! Tie game with 5 seconds remaining.
Yes, Ray Allen, or if you want to call him Jesus Shuttlesworth, for those of you who out there who are He Got Game fans. One of my favorite sports movies of all time. But anyway, the Heat beat the San Antonio Spurs 103-100 overtime thriller last night. The series is now tied at 3 games apiece. In my opinion, it was one of the greatest NBA Finals games of all time. I mean, just the constant drama, back and forth runs from both the Heat and the Spurs. Game 7 will be at American Airlines Arena on Thursday. NBA's do or die matchup. I love this, man. This is the first do or die matchup to determine his champion since the Lakers beat the Celtics back in 2010. The Heat trying to become the fourth team to win the final 2 games at home since the NBA went to the 2-3-2 format in the championship series back in 1985. So, what's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
I'm still reeling from last night. It was such an intense game. Finally, after 5 kind of snoozers in the fourth quarter, you finally get some drama, and it was more than enough. It was crazy.
It was unbelievable, guys. If you guys were I was talking to Alex. Alex is following me on Twitter, and I was blowing up his Twitter, man. I almost went to Twitter jail probably last night.
Yeah, yeah. It was close, but not as close as the fact that they couldn't get 1 rebound in 3 or 4 different chances. Within the last 3 minutes, one rebound by the Spurs,
yeah,
it probably would have been hoisting up a championship trophy.
Yeah, now, guys, this is what I want to bring to the table. Now, when I was watching this game, LeBron James, best player on the planet, hands down, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. To me, it's frustrating to watch LeBron James play. If you look at his productivity throughout the entire game, It didn't. He didn't wake up until I guess that headband went off his head and the blood started to rush to his brain and he woke up and said, "Hey, I can take over this game." Because those first three quarters, the man was 3 for 12. Now, granted, at that point he had about what he was in double digit points. I know that, and that had to do with free throws. He went to the free throw line, but at the same time, he was 3 for 12 shooting. He was awful, and I'm just saying it right now. LeBron James was awful. If you're supposed to be the best player on the planet, you cannot go 3 for 12 in an elimination game those first three quarters. He woke up in the fourth, was unbelievable. No one could stop him going to the paint. He woke up during that duration. But I tell you what, there were two possessions in which he turned the ball over with I believe, a minute left.
Back to back.
Yep. That could have cost the Miami Heat this game. Now, a lot of people are right now, I've been reading papers and watching ESPN all morning about this. They're giving LeBron praise because of his heroics in that fourth quarter. But I tell you what, if the Miami Heat would have lost that game last night, you would have been looking at those two turnovers and that 3 for 12 going in that third quarter, and LeBron would have been catching a lot of flat.
Oh, yeah. He should be thanking Ray Allen for, you know, conserving his legacy for, at least until game seven, until, maybe he makes it or breaks it. But, yeah, because if he doesn't have that big fourth quarter, if Ray Allen doesn't hit the shot, which was there ever any doubt that he was going to hit that shot? How many big buzzer beaters has he hit?
Yes.
It's like it's automatic.
Automatic, man.
But if he doesn't hit that shot, then, yeah, LeBron's legacy is forever.
It's like you're questioning it, man. And he has to wake up. LeBron is the best player on the planet. He can take over a game. It's just about him wanting to do it. And it baffles me sometimes. I watch him playing, and he really, guys, he looked lost those first three quarters.
Right.
Passing the ball left and right, looked passive. I mean, I don't know.
If they lose that game, LeBron's struggles are the top story above the Spurs winning an NBA title. That's how big a deal it would have been.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been the lead story. LeBron struggling in Game 6 instead of, San Antonio winning a title. That's how big it was.
Exactly. Without a doubt. So, go ahead, Alex.
Oh, and here's what I'm going to argue. Is as much as the game that he played was probably one of his best with that fourth quarter, I would argue that although he did play well, I would say some of the turnovers, some of the poor plays that he made in the fourth, I don't think he will go down on having a great fourth quarter.
He is, though. If you look at the most of the coverage, I mean, everybody's praising LeBron James right now.
And that's what I'm going to be, the difference maker here to say that I don't think he should be getting that praise. I mean, just based off two turnovers with the last minute of the game, throwing up threes and completely missing some of them, off the back iron.
Right.
I just think that with 3 minutes of the game, you have Ray Allen saving your legacy. I just don't think you can praise him.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got some calls here. Jeremy on line one. What's up, Jeremy?
What's up? How you doing, man?
Well, pretty good, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Just proud to see you doing your thing, man, and just calling in to support, man.
Appreciate that, man. What's on your mind?
LeBron gets the credit, but let's talk about the third big person, Chris Bosh, who gets no love throughout the nation. His second half was just magnificent. Remember, Tim Duncan dropped 23-25 in the first half. He only had 5 second half overtime. Who was guarding him? Chris Bosh.
Right.
Tony Parker got open. He crossed over Chris Bosh, but who came back and made the block? Chris Bosh. Who got over there to Danny Green, the hottest three-point shooter in the history of the NBA Finals, and got the block? Chris Bosh. Who gave Ray Allen the pass off the offensive rebound? Chris Bosh.
Right.
We're talking about LeBron James, but there's two reasons why that game went to overtime.
I totally agree. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Kawhi Leonard missed the free throw, and Chris Bosh just takes his game to another level, his defensive game. So,
thanks for the call, Jeremy. Very, very good points by Jeremy.
Hey, what Jeremy said, but I think that defensively he was a difference maker, but I don't think his play in the second half was that good because...
No, offensively, Chris Bosh's play.
Right. Do you remember two shots by Chris Bosh that he had wide open? I think they were in the last 5 minutes of the game. Wide open shots, one from, the right baseline.
Right.
Miss. I mean, he gets paid to make those shots.
Right. Now, I think when Jeremy makes valid points, though, in the crunch.
Yeah.
Crunch time.
Sure.
Chris Bosh made some plays where you're just like, whoa.
Right.
Like I said, Danny Green, and even look, Tony Parker. If you look at that, I remember Tony Parker had a shot in which he kind of faked out, Chris Bosh. He had some room. He actually did fake out Chris Bosh, but Chris Bosh's recovery, he actually blocked Tony Parker's shot. I'm not sure. I think that would have brought them within like 1 point or something, or pushed the lead up for the Spurs. Huge block there. He gets the pass to Ray Allen. We're talking about LeBron James, guys, but you can't forget about Chris Bosh.
Yeah, and you know, he did miss those shots, but it was the effort plays that made the difference. I mean, he's busting his butt on defense. He's the guy getting the big offensive rebounds, and obviously, you know, that assist to Allen for the tying three. But it's just like when LeBron lost his headband, which, you know, maybe you guys remember old Tiger Woods games where you could be Tiger or Redshirt Tiger. I feel like next year you're going to be LeBron or headbandless LeBron because he was a monster. But
he was.
Man, how much do you think that headband, or who has it?
That headband is
going to the Smithsonian, Basketball Hall of Fame, something crazy. But you know, LeBron ignites the team, and it was Bosch's effort that got them over the hump. It was, you know, he was more valuable than Dwayne Wade was last night.
He was unbelievable, man. All right, guys, we have Joe on line two. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, man. How you been?
Pretty good. A couple of quick points. Point number one: there is no crunch time if LeBron James doesn't score 16 points. There's no other reason to fight for the game if LeBron James doesn't go off to score 16 points.
Okay,
As far as legacy goes, I look back, and in the past 33 years of players to lead their team in points, rebounds, and assists in a finals championship, Magic Johnson did it once, Tim Duncan did it once, LeBron James did it once last year. He's about to do it again this year.
Right. So
as far as greatness goes, he's absolutely unbelievable.
He is.
In the first three quarters of the game, the reason that he seems passive is because he has to get the rest of the team involved. If he doesn't get the rest of the team involved, the only thing he can do is drive into the inside and get hacked and turn the ball over quite a bit.
This is the thing I'm saying, Joe. When you talk about LeBron James, this is a guy who and you saw it in the fourth quarter. No one can stop this man when he makes up his mind and says, "Give me the ball, everybody get out the way." No one can stop him. And if you look at the mentality that all the greats have had in NBA's past, that's the type of mentality they've had, and they've been able to take over a game like that. Now, when you talk about facilitating those first three quarters and trying to get his teammates involved, he has to shift that mindset, because even though he was trying to do that, you see what the score was in the third quarter when he was trying to facilitate. They were down by 10 points. There has to be a point when you say, okay, they're not getting it done. Give me the ball. I'm about to do this thing. And that's what he did not do, Joe. That's the criticism I have about LeBron James. He can do it. But when he doesn't, that's a detriment to his team, because he's trying to get guys involved that aren't even involved themselves.
I would argue a couple of things. One, he did do it because if you look at the fourth quarter, they got to overtime and they won the game. Point number two, you are correct. Like, a lot of times he's trying to facilitate too much.
Way too much.
And the big player that is actually getting in the way is Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade was minus 15, and whenever they're both on the floor together, LeBron defers to him a lot. It doesn't start drawing up plays. Most of the time during their runs, like when they started to get close or catch the Spurs, Wade was out of the game.
I tell you what.
And Chalmers and Miller were hitting threes. It was huge.
And Chalmers actually ran a pick and roll.
Yeah.
He ran a pick and roll well.
Chalmers was great last night.
Yeah,
another unsung hero.
He was great. But the thing about LeBron is, from a killer standpoint, man, if you're down by 10 points – and you're in an elimination game, and you are the man on that team, you should not be passing the ball. Period.
Okay.
That's my argument.
In some respects, yes. Like, but
should not. Jordan didn't pass the ball. If you're in an elimination game, you should not be passing the ball with your team down by 10 points. That's just saying you're kind of just giving the ball. You're giving the game away at that point, if you ask me.
But he didn't do that. He didn't pass the ball. He got greedy. He had to turn the ball over quite a bit on the inside. He got hacked every single time he went down the floor, which is why I think the refs are calling the game still loose.
But
Jeremy, Ray Allen three was huge, but LeBron made the three before that. And he also took the three before that. He missed. He's a great three-point shooter usually, but in crunch time, these things happen.
But Joe, he did pass the ball when he tried to get into the lane within a minute to go, twice. He was attempting to pass the ball to either Ray or someone on the outside.
Yeah, but if you looked at the past three drives before that, he got taken to the ground through a shot up. No call was made, and then they went back on the other end of the court.
It's tough. And that's another aspect to this, the referees in the game. Hey, Joe, really appreciate the call, man. Thanks for calling, brother.
No problem, bud.
Appreciate it, man. All right, we have another call on line one. Go ahead. On line three, excuse me. Line three. Doesn't matter what line it is. Still a call. Go ahead. Hello.
Hello, is that me?
Yes. Welcome to Current Sports.
Okay. I think whether he shot 3 for 12 at the first half or and knocked down, you know, over the course of a game, you know, sometimes your shots fall, sometimes they don't. I think you look. I got to look at the number of shots taken. I don't have the stats in front of me. You remember how many shots James took in the second half? He took 12 in the first half.
We'll look that up right now for you.
I'm just curious what his total was. That is the thing. James's defense in that fourth quarter, he made a couple of crucial blocks that people, and, you know, that when you get the offensive leader that's making crucial defensive plays, that's pretty right. unusual. And I do think that, if I remember right, James ended up with a triple-double last night.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of hard to put a rap on a guy not showing, you know, when he gets a triple-double.
Well, this is my argument. This is what I want to clear the airways with. LeBron James was spectacular in this regard. When they needed him to show up in that fourth quarter, he showed up.
He brought it. He was leading the brigade. And then they all followed. And the entire energy level for the whole team just spiked.
Right, exactly. And he brought it in that fourth quarter. He is unbelievable. He is the best player on the planet, hands down, no question about it.
The one other point that I'd like to make was, at one point he put up a, and the guy first called it a pass and called it a bad pass. And then when they looked on replay, you know, the ball was blocked when it was on his hand. So whether he's putting up a pass or a
– Oh, the Danny Green play on the fast break, I believe. Yeah.
So it's the part of that fourth quarter malaise that people laid on him was, I thought, the fault of the announcers who got a little premature with calling a bad pass when, in fact, it was a good defensive block that knocked something offline. I'll hang up and let you go. Thanks.
God, hey, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate that.
And to answer his question, LeBron shot 10 shots in the second half, 3 in the third and 7 in the fourth. So pretty quiet third.
Very quiet third. I could hear crickets in the third quarter when you were talking about LeBron James. But the only thing, like I said, LeBron James, only thing I'm knocking, hear me out. The only thing I'm knocking LeBron James on is when and when not to take over a game. If that's any criticism I have of LeBron James, it is frustrating knowing, when you're watching LeBron James, knowing that he can just take over and dominate at any given moment, and he's sitting there passing the ball. That's the only problem I have with him. And that's so frustrating to watch.
And you know, you saw it last year when they had that big game 6 in Boston, and he had like 45 points, was hitting everything. From everywhere. And then, you know, you see that, and when you see him struggling even a little bit, you know, everything's just, what's wrong with LeBron? Why isn't LeBron doing this? Why isn't LeBron doing that? And it's just like, he's a human being. He's going to have an off night, but he's the type of player who can start attacking in, you know, when it gets to that time. He started attacking the paint. They started getting open looks, and then, you know, everything changed, and now he's riding high into Game 7. So,
yeah, and I tell you, this story would be totally different if they would have lost the game. All right.
You're right.
My dad is on line one. What's up, Dad?
How's it going?
Pretty good, man. What's up?
You know, when I'm thinking about basketball and when I'm watching basketball, I watch every aspect, from the coaching, everything.
Yeah.
What I saw, and Popovich is one of the best coaches ever in the history of the game.
Yeah.
But last night, he made some bad decisions.
I agree.
Okay? The decision is to keep Ginobili, who was totally ice cold.
Yep.
And he must have, I don't know how many times he gave up the ball, but I know it was close to 10 times, it seemed like to me.
Right. I think it was 9.
He should have pulled him out the game. I know he's one of your star players. He's part of that big three. But he should have got him out of there. And he should have put somebody else in his place.
Right.
Now, I don't think Ray Allen would have made that shot if he wouldn't have had, well, you know who he had on him when he shot that ball. And he knew he could shoot over him, you know, and that was Parker. You know, he shot over Parker with no problem, and he made that three. Now, we had a young 21-year-old trying to make a free throw to end the game. He was under a lot of pressure, and, you know, he just choked.
Right.
Normally, he was doing pretty good at the free throw line. But I think overall – and I think Popovich might say, you know, that game might be on me. Because I made a decision. I took out Duncan. I took out Parker. And I think he should have just let him play. Because it was too close to the end.
Right.
You know, he put him on the bench. And I think he should have put him in. He should have left him in. Should have let them. Because they had a 12-point lead at one point.
Yeah.
You know. And they were doing extremely well. And I think they had enough energy to go ahead and finish it out.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys agree with me or no?
I totally agree.
I do.
100%. Thanks, Dad, for the call. Appreciate that, man.
No problem.
I totally agree with. I mean, even though Greg Popovich is known, I mean, he's a shoe-in Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's unbelievable coach, the best in the game, I believe. But if you look at yesterday's game, leaving, and I was looking at Ginobili, like, why is he still in the? There was a time in that fourth quarter, I believe, where Ginobili was like he was the primary ball handler, and you had Thiago Splitter in there. I mean, I was like, where is the scoring going to come from? Ginobili can't hit anything, and Thiago. I mean, he hit two layups, but
yeah.
I mean, I'm sitting there like, why is Tony Parker and Tim Duncan on the bench, though? I'm sitting there like, are you kidding me?
Sure. No, and here's where I'm going to come from the other side, and when countering your dad on this one, is, you know, if you're a great player, and Ginobili, we can all agree, is a great player, right?
Yeah.
He's a great player.
Not for sure.
If you are
when he's on.
Okay.
When he's bad, you want to trade him like Popsy.
All right. But look, when many great players are missing shots, they're having an off game, do you sit him on the bench or do you tell him to keep shooting? Do you tell Michael Jordan and LeBron to keep shooting or do you put him on the bench?
Well, Ginobili's not no Michael
Jordan.
No,
I'm not saying Ginobili's Michael Jordan or LeBron. But right. His role on the Spurs is equivalent to a role that LeBron has on the Heat. Not the fact that Ginobili controls the whole game, but the fact that Ginobili is a go-to player for the Spurs. And I would argue on the other side that if you're Ginobili and if you're Popovich, I would lead him in the game because he's going to hit some eventually, and he's going to play better eventually. I mean, sure,
not
you
at
can
all,
go
man.
0-6, have an awful game. But I think that you can come back and hit crucial shots. And we've seen it happen in the playoffs, too.
Not at all. Ginobili, if you look at the course of that game, this is an elimination game, crunch time. Ginobili's been turning the ball over left and right all game. You cannot leave him in the game and leave your Tim Duncan, who had an unbelievable night. He turned back the clock about 20 years. I mean, had about 30-something points. You leave him on the bench in crunch time like that, and Tony Parker, I mean, your primary ball handler, that was a bad move by Pop.
Right, sure. No, and I agree, especially with the turnover side, too.
Right.
I see that.
Well, guys, time is running down. Let's give our final thoughts on the game, man, and we got to move on to our last segment.
All right, final thoughts. Something the Spurs were missing was Danny Green. You can hear him crashing back into earth. 1-for-7, 1-of-5 on threes. Tony Parker, yeah, he had some huge plays in the fourth quarter where I thought, you know, he might kind of ice it. He had those 5 points, big points, but he went 6-of-23 overall. And then when the Heat were making that big run, surprisingly,
right,
it seemed like Kawhi Leonard was the coolest guy on the court for the Spurs.
Right.
He had 22.
Yeah, yeah, he was unbelievable.
He did miss that free throw, but, you know, Ginobili missed a free throw too, so it's not like Kawhi was the only one who did it. But Kawhi Leonard, that guy's going to be a star if he's not already. He's a really good player.
Yeah, it also seems that he was in the right place at the right time.
Always.
Always.
I don't know if it's him or Greg Popovich or some weird cosmic balance between the two, but that guy is going to be a player for sure.
Kawhi Leonard was definitely impressive. Go ahead, Alex.
All right, well, I just can't get over the fact with 3 minutes to go, Spurs down 87-84, the Heat come back down the court and commit, I think it was four straight turnovers out of their last five possessions of the game, yet they still win the game. I just don't think you can slit LeBron. Two turnovers in the last minute, yet he's a hero after this game? I'm going to argue that he's really not a hero after this.
I wouldn't go that far, but I feel you. I know
triple-double in an elimination game, it's rare.
He was
it's
unbelievable rare. In the fourth quarter, but LeBron, I would just like to – I know the potential he has. I just would love to see him be more aggressive early in the game. And if he is, I think that some of these games will be blowouts in some regards. But, all right, incredible game. Thank you for everyone who called just now. Oh, man, that was a great discussion. I can go on and on about that. All right, hey, guys, stick around. More current sports is next.
On the next Fresh Air, the background behind the secret surveillance programs leaked by Ed Snowden. We'll talk about programs collecting metadata, the laws that govern those programs, and the questions those programs raise about privacy with journalist Shane Harris, the author of a book about the rise of America's surveillance state. He covers intelligence for Foreign Policy magazine. Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It's that time where, well, a lot of you have already called. We've already opened the phone lines at 517-355-9527. We'll talk about anything that's on your mind. We just finished talking about the NBA Finals, but it's also Barbershop Wednesday. So we have a pretty intriguing topic, to say the least, to discuss with you all. Of course, all this week so far, we've been talking about homosexuality and sports. We've talked with a few guests and got their takes on things. A few guests who actually have organizations in Michigan that center around. You know, we had one that is the co-founder of the Rainbow Bowling League here in Michigan, and Rob Copeland, who is he's the co-founder of the Ann Arbor Aquatic Gay swimming team in Michigan. So with this whole, you know, with Jason Collins coming out and Robbie Rogers for soccer, we wanted to have this discussion because it's one that's been getting a lot of tension. So, I'm, of course, Alex Sharg and Matt Lutke are still here with me. And today's topic is, how would you handle having a gay or lesbian teammate on your sports team?
Now, are you the player? Are you the GM?
You are the player. You're the player, and you have a teammate. Because, I mean, frankly, if you look at this discussion that's been had, it's been had on other platforms as well, and a lot of players have dealt with this, and a lot of players who haven't dealt with this have expressed their opinions on it, and a lot of them are uncomfortable with taking showers with the individual or just being involved with them, period. So it's a really touchy topic. How would you guys, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, you know, I don't think it's that big of a deal, and I don't think going forward it will be that big of a deal. I think, you know, after I just read Bruce Arians, the Arizona Cardinals coach, he just said, you know, the last big thing that's deterring a player from coming out is opposing fans. He thinks that you know, the organization, and if you're a professional athlete, you're there to do a job, you know, and, you know, whether you're gay, straight, or whatever, what have you, you know, you're there to play a sport and do your job. And I think, you know, if you are there and you're performing your duties, I don't think your teammates are going to care, you know, what kind of sexual orientation you have. I think, you know, a team could be a security blanket. Right. If you come out, say you come out to your team, you know, one of the big tenets of sports is respecting your teammates and your opponents. I think that kind of lumps right in there. I mean, if you come out to your team, they're going to be a support system for you. You know, they're going to love you no matter what, I feel like. And I know some people might, you know, there might be some detractors, but that's how things go when big social issues kind of come into sports.
That's
it takes
life.
Time. There's going to be guys who are kind of straggling behind the change. But sooner or later, I think it's just going to be commonplace and it's going to be no issue at all.
Now, teams should be that security blanket. It's a team, you know, you support one another. I get that. But will a team ultimately be a security blanket for players? I'm going to argue that they won't, because look with all the Twitter things that have came out. Look at all, even ESPN analysts have even said some anti-gay remarks. Although it should be a security blanket, there are always going to be those people that, you know, they're not going to get along with someone who's gay on the team. Now, to answer the question, if you were with someone on a team that was gay, would it be more comfortable for you? Let's think about this. Men and women were separated in different restrooms because men's history with women, and just, you know, it just seemed, you know, viable to separate them. But you look at, if someone was in the same locker room with someone who was gay, is that the same kind of thing as separating men and women?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think it is.
Because it's, I mean, it's a gender thing. I mean, the guy is still a male at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So, but when you look at this, I think when you look at this topic, gay and lesbianism is something that has really, over the years, is almost becoming a social norm in today's society. You know
exactly.
What I mean? There's a lot of states out there right now who are passing laws that are making it, gay marriage and lesbian marriage, they're passing and making it legal, you know?
Yep.
So it's becoming one of those things ingrained into our culture where it's becoming a norm. And I think since it's becoming like that in our culture, and you start to see athletes like Jason Collins and Robbie Rogers come out, that also will soon become just the norm. It's going to be a time, and I think it'll be soon, maybe 10, 15 years, where an athlete announcing that they're gay on the team is not going to be a big deal.
Sure.
We won't even be having this conversation anymore.
And I would even enhance that and say, if you're in the same locker room and if you're showering with someone who is gay, is that going to be the determinant for you to be uncomfortable? I personally would be fine with it because, look, have you ever seen the movie Along Came Polly and Ben Stiller's guarding this huge guy and he's sweating and he just wants to leave off him? Did you ever see that movie,
no,
Along Came Polly?
I am familiar.
You know the scene I'm talking about? It's
the one scene of that movie that I remember.
There's a scene in the movie where Ben Stiller is guarding this man.
Yeah.
And the guy is just sweating. He doesn't have a shirt on. He has a lot of hair on him, so all the sweat is just – he's literally a bath. It's like
right.
It's like guarding a bathtub. So when Ben Stiller is guarding up against him, the grime, and it just slides across his face. There's a slow motion scene where they show Ben Stiller, and then right. All the sweat's going across his face from this guy. The same thing goes for a gay teammate. It's not like the gay teammate is touching you or anything. I mean, if that was the case, sure, that would be totally different. But you're in a shower.
Right,
you can have a curtain if you'd like, if that's really what it is, if you don't want them to look at you. But people look at people everywhere.
That's what I'm saying. It's become – like it was one of those things where, you know, if he is gay, you know, or if you have a lesbian on the team as well, I mean, let them do their thing. If they're not bothering you or invading your space, then hey.
What's the problem?
What's the problem?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the thing. Now, I could see if they were doing something else, but if they're just going out there, doing what you do, taking a shower and going home, that's no problem. But when you look at this topic, man, I mean, I think a lot of individuals still in today's world, even though, like I said, that gay and lesbianism is becoming commonplace in today's culture, there are still many individuals out there who are plain and simple homophobic. You know
right.
what I mean? And there's going to be that for years, and it'll probably always be that. So that's where this conversation gets a little sticky because you have some athletes out there who really are not comfortable with it.
Right, and you get some of these comments that, you know, are, you know, anti-gay, but it's people that don't really have experience with gay people in their day-to-day
right.
lives. And it seems like, going back to your shower comment, it seems like, you know, some people think that if a gay guy is in the shower with me, he's going to try and do something. But it's like,
right.
just because he's gay doesn't mean he's attracted to you or interested in you at all. He's just a guy.
Just
like,
a guy.
That's just his orientation. It's not, you know, it's not like he's going to automatically just be like, oh my gosh, I'll, you know, the shower, I can't wait. Like, that's not how it works. It's
right.
just a part of life.
Just a part of life, man. So it's very interesting conversation. I'd like to thank everybody who called and weighed in on it, including Alex, who had a, you know, who called yesterday, and he brought up a good point because, you know, in certain religions and cultures, I mean, they're brought up and to believe that, you know, in whatever your religion or culture is, but Alex hit on this point that when he's brought up, he was brought up to say that, you know, being gay and lesbian is wrong.
Right.
And that's just ingrained in his mind. So there was a level of uncomfortability when he was, you know, when talking about this subject. At the same time, it's becoming so common that you're going to have to deal with it one way or another.
And what better place to do it than in that kind of team setting,
exactly.
where like you
right.
you have to, you know, kind of like this person no matter what. You know, what better way to kind of break that barrier than through sports? Maybe sports is the place for gay people to come out. Maybe it is. You know, you have that support system, so
right.
you know, maybe it's a new avenue that we'll get to explore further down the line.
Right. I got to ask this question before we go off the air, guys. Do you guys ever see a football player coming out and announcing this anytime soon?
Next 3 years.
Next 3 years, you think, son?
Yep.
Huh?
Wow.
I know there are some out there, but football, like I said, it's that tough persona of the alpha male. Being gay is really looked down upon in, as far as football goes because it's that sport that's just like, you know, you got to be that tough guy. And being gay doesn't encompass that persona.
And as much as football is such a tough sport, even hockey, I mean, this is one of the
right.
toughest sports as well that, you know, you're grinding, you know, if you're on that line, that grind line, that's going to be uncomfortable too. Rugby, you can go on and on.
Yeah, you can go on and on with those sports. Wow, what a conversation we had, guys. The NBA Finals. Thanks for everyone that called in. This intriguing discussion. Well, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Alex Sharg and Matt Luckey, our production assistants. Intern Mike Corey, engineer Aaron Young. Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to Jimmy Cotter for joining us, representative from Capital Area Soccer League, which are hosting the charity Kick for the House this Saturday down at Cooley Law School Stadium. Bring your families out there. Should be a great event to raise money for a pretty cool cause. Only $5 for general admission. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Same time, same place tomorrow. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Be easy, people.